We're joined live from Washington, D.C. by Mitch Jezerich, who is just outside the House chambers where the House is currently debating and shortly will be voting on a resolution formalizing the procedure by which the impeachment inquiry will proceed. Mitch, good morning.
Good morning, Brian. Good morning, Kat.
Good morning, Mitch.
I want to set us up by playing just a little bit of tape from the floor. This is from the past few minutes. Opening arguments here from Jim McGovern, Democrat from Massachusetts, chair of the House Rules Committee, and the person presenting this resolution. Here he is.
I truly believe that 100 years from now, historians will look back at this moment and judge us by the decisions we make here today. This moment calls for more than politics. It calls for people concerned not about the reactions of partisans today, but of the consequences of an action decades from now. If we don't hold this president accountable, we could be ceding our ability to hold any president accountable. And at the end of the day, this resolution isn't about Donald Trump. It isn't about any of us. It's about our Constitution. It's about our country. And so I urge my colleagues to not just think about the political pressures of the moment. These will pass. Please consider the heavy responsibility you have today to this institution, the Constitution, and to our country. I reserve the balance of my time.
Gentleman reserves. For what purpose does the gentleman from Oklahoma rise?
Madam Speaker, I want to...
Whoops. Cut that clip a little bit sloppily. That's what happens when you're moving fast. Mitch Jezerich, what's the mood on the House floor right now?
Well, it's pretty serious, Brian. Nancy Pelosi was serving as the Speaker of the House. Now, of course, she is the Speaker of the House, but she was actually in the Speaker's chair, gaveling in the session and overseeing at least the beginning of it, which is an indication that it's a big deal that's happening. And it is a big deal. There's a lot of gravity to this moment right now. This is the first House floor action on this attempt of impeaching Donald Trump. What they are doing today, what they are doing right this minute, is debating a resolution that will set the groundwork and the rules and the format of how the impeachment process will go here on out. So this is not voting for impeachment, but I think a lot of people see this as a test case. The first test case in a vote on whether or not to impeach Donald Trump. So it'll be interesting to see in about 20 minutes from now, when they are expected to vote on this resolution, if all Democrats vote for it. I think we anticipate 3 or 4 voting against it, but maybe more consequential will be how all Republicans vote. Will there be any Republicans that are really willing put their career on the line right now, or are there any Republicans who have already announced that they will be retiring at the end of this session, at the end of this year, that will be willing to buck their party? It'll be interesting to see what the vote looks like once it happens from about 20 minutes from right now. But I think, you know, Jim McGovern made a very strong point in that clip that you played, Brian. Historians will be looking back at this moment 100 years from now. This is history that's occurring on Capitol Hill. And then he said, and I thought this was very important, if you don't hold this president accountable, what president will you hold accountable in the future? What precedent will you be setting for future presidents to come? You know, Kat, this is something you and I have talked a lot about on the air. You know, as crazy as this moment feels and seems right now, what does it look like? What does all this look like when all this is over on the other side of this? What are the new precedents? How are things going to continue onward after this? So, yeah, it's a heavy moment on the Hill right now.
Mitch, you mentioned that Republicans are, there may be some Republicans that are willing to put their career on the line and vote for this process to move forward. But it's more than that. I mean, the Republicans have almost formed like this mob-like mentality, right, as they close ranks and not only rail against the process, but rail for the president in defense of Trump as he has been more and more vocal about demanding their loyalty.
Yeah, I mean, it's the continuing process of the takeover of the Republican Party by Donald Trump. Even at this point, if you can't even get, look, they're not voting, and let's be clear about this, they're not voting today on whether or not to impeach Donald Trump. They are voting as to whether or not there should be an inquiry that could potentially lead to the impeachment of Donald Trump, but not necessarily. You can have an open process here on out, and people decide, all right, you know, hey, we didn't get, okay, I got a different opinion of it now. Of course, that's rarely how it works, but this is just to say, should there be a process to look in this even further, and then we'll decide once the House Judiciary Committee finishes its work whether or not to impeach. And so, you know, it does show the takeover of the Republican Party, which is nothing new, by Donald Trump. And you see, you know, you see them respond very forcibly whenever he calls on them to respond. Last week, when the Republicans, about 40 of them, stormed the top secretive room, the SCIF, where the closed depositions are occurring, that happened the very morning after Donald Trump was complaining that Republicans weren't doing enough to defend him.
Let's go to what the Republicans are sounding like here. We have one of their opening debaters. This is California's own Devin Nunes. He is from the Fresno area. He's currently ranking Republican on the House Intelligence Committee. And they've been attacking specifically the process that Democrats are proposing, alleging it gives Republicans far fewer rights in this proceeding than, for instance, Democrats had during the impeachment of Bill Clinton. Here he is.
It's clear that since the Democrats took control of the House of Representatives, they have always intended to transform the Intelligence Committee into the Impeachment Committee. Every one of their actions, from the staff they hire to the Trump conspiracy theories they investigate, their willful neglect of our basic oversight duties demonstrates that this has been their plan from day one. And now this is further confirmed by the adoption of these rules, which simply gives the House approval for the Intelligence Committee Democrats to continue pursuing their bizarre obsession with overturning the results of the last presidential election. Nevertheless, after spending 3 years trying to manufacture a crime they can attribute to President Trump, they've come up empty.
So that seems to be the line of argument. There's nothing wrong here. They want to reverse an election, and it is a completely bogus procedure that they are proposing to use to do it.
Yes, yes to all of the above. And we will start hearing more of the argument that Donald Trump actually didn't do anything wrong. That if you look at the transcript that was released by the White House, a transcript that was constructed later, that it doesn't necessarily, that it could be read differently. You know, Donald Trump likes to say it was a perfect phone call. And he even said that Mitch McConnell agreed with him. Mitch McConnell said last week that he had never had such a conversation with Donald Trump about the phone call. So I think we will start to see more defense over actually what Donald Trump and Rudy Giuliani has done with the situation with Ukraine. Now, some of the procedural things that the Republicans are complaining about, and it's interesting, they're saying that they don't have nearly the same amount of rights as the minority party did in 1998 with the impeachment process of Bill Clinton when the Democrats were in the minority. And, of course, the Democrats today, Jim McGovern argues, are you kidding? You actually have more rights today. So some of the contentious issues can stem towards the issue of subpoena. Will the Republicans have the subpoena power? And according to the resolution that they are voting on here in the next couple of minutes, Republicans do have the right to call their own witnesses to the hearings that will be public. However, the chair, who will be Adam Schiff, the chair of the House Intelligence Committee, can block that subpoena. And if Adam Schiff does that, then it will go up to a vote by the committee to decide whether or not that subpoena will be issued, or even that invitation to come to the committee will be issued. And that's pretty standard procedures. That is my understanding, how the procedures were with the Bill Clinton impeachment process. And it's actually standard how the subpoena and even inviting witnesses to come testify to Congress works in general. The other thing the Republicans are rejecting too. And this is interesting, and this is different because the process is different from what happened in 1998 with Bill Clinton. Because in the Bill Clinton impeachment, you first had the Ken Starr investigation and then the Ken Starr report, which Republicans worked on there on out. Here today, you don't have a special prosecutor investigating this situation with Ukraine. So these Democratic these congressional committees that are headed by Democrats are actually the ones doing the investigations so far behind closed doors with these depositions. And there are six in total committees that are working on it. And the rules are going to allow the White House to participate in the process that happens with the Judiciary Committee, the House Judiciary Committee. So once this goes to the Judiciary Committee, which is tasked to come up with articles of impeachment, White House attorneys will actually get to participate in that process and even ask their own questions. But because there are five other committees that are also doing their investigations, which include Financial Services Committee, House Oversight Committee, Ways and Means Committee, Foreign Affairs Committees, the White House will not have the ability to participate in the investigations that are happening within the other committees. And that's one of the things that the Republicans are objecting to.
Mitch, we talked about it some yesterday, but I think it bears repeating because this, you know, can get really in the weeds. In addition to the things you just spoke about, what are the sort of primary elements of this bill that's moving forward?
So it just sets out what the process is going to be with the impeachment once the House of Representatives comes back from its recess. It's actually beginning a recess after today, and they'll be out for next week. That said, the Intelligence Committee and the depositions will continue to happen, and there's some big major news that is broken on that front that may be occurring next week. But once the House comes back from its week-long recess, we can anticipate this process to open up to the public. And we'll first see, at a minimum, one open hearing from the House Intelligence Committee that will bring in a witness. We don't know who that witness is. Good chance it'll be somebody like William Taylor, who has so far seemed to give the most important deposition so far, but we don't know who that will be. They could have two hearings, but it says no fewer than one hearing from the House Intelligence Committee. When that happens, the first 90 minutes of that hearing, it'll only be attorneys from both sides asking questions, which I think is a very positive development, because when you just go to lawmaker, it can go in any kind of direction, and it's hard to really pin anyone down on anything. So the first 90 minutes will be lawyers from both the Republican and Democratic side, and then it will be opened up to five-minute rounds of questioning from lawmakers on the House Intelligence Committee. These depositions that have been taken, the transcripts of them will be released. They will be redacted if it concerns highly sensitive or classified information. And also the committees that are participating in these closed depositions will have to come out with a report about everything they've learned from these depositions. Once the House Intelligence Committee is done having its open hearing that I was telling you about, then all the information will go to the House Judiciary Committee, and the House Judiciary Committee will then work on coming up with articles of impeachment. It's my assumption that that will be an open process as well.
I just mentioned we're silently monitoring the C-SPAN feed while we speak to you. Norma Torres from Pomona, California, has just taken the floor, and her aides put up a giant headshot in black and white of Donald Trump with the words in quotes, "Do us a favor, though," splashed over his mouth. Mitch Jesrich, the vote currently looks like it's going to be taking place about 7:45 a.m. our time, and we're going to have you on before the end of the show to kind of debrief how it's actually broken down, how many defectors there are from either party. Are there specific lawmakers who you think are worth watching, whose decision will be significant today?
Well, I think for the Democrats, it'll be worth watching the members who are in districts in that Donald Trump won. That's where they're anticipating a few defectors. What I've heard is maybe no more than four.
But
the Republicans,
but what's the theory here? If you're a Democrat in a Trump district, is the theory that there are Trump voters who you can convince to put you back in office? Aren't elections these days about trying to mobilize more of your base than the other side's base comes out?
Yeah, but these members may be from bases that aren't your traditional base that's strong for impeachment, right? I mean, we do know that polls suggest on a national level that a majority of people favor an impeachment process, and about half the people favor just straight impeaching the president now. But if you look at states that are considered swing states, the numbers are a little different. They don't show a majority of people supporting the impeachment of Donald Trump. So, you know, I mean, when people elect someone, there are many factors that play in. And you may like your Democratic representative. Who knows? These Democrats might lose anyways, right? You never know. But if your district is not expressing a majority support for impeaching the president, and then you vote towards impeaching, if you don't vote for impeaching the president, or if you even don't vote in this, you know, it could be considered a test case vote on the procedures. That's something they at least can't hammer away at you. Your opponent can't hammer away at you in next year's election.
Mitch, you talked about that even though they're going on recess next week, that the depositions will continue, and there was some big news about that. I assume you're talking about the John Bolton, the former National Security Advisor, being summoned to testify before Congress.
John Bolton is a big deal. Now, John Bolton, and you use the correct terminology there, Kat, summoned. He has not been subpoenaed yet. But John Bolton's lawyer has said that he will not come testify until he is subpoenaed. Now, that's a common thing that has occurred in these hearings. Sometimes the subpoena even happens that morning, and the people have come in, like William Taylor. He was subpoenaed that morning, then he came in that morning to do his deposition. So, but I suspect John Bolton will serve and will act the same way his aide act, Charles Kupperman, who went to court and asked a judge to determine who should he obey, the White House or Congress, because the White House is trying to block these people from giving their depositions. So that will be a big deal. I would say another big news item, Kat, from these depositions, we are still learning more a couple of days later after Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman gave his testimony. And it is recently come out that he told the three committees that are working in the closed door hearings that once he was on the phone call between Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky and Donald Trump, that once that phone call was over, he went to White House counsel John Eisenberg and told John Eisenberg about his concern. And according to Vindman, this White House lawyer is the one that put in the process of taking that original transcript or whatever record they have of that call and changing it to a different server that's more, that's harder to get to, that less people have access to compared to where they usually put records of phone calls with other world leaders. So that's a big deal. And Eisenberg has been asked to come testify next week on the Hill. We'll have to see if he shows up or not.
Interesting distinction between issuing a subpoena, which is something you typically give to a witness, and summonsing someone, which you typically do to a demon.
Oh, boy.
But I
can't let us end on that note. Mitch, I have a question for you.
Let me clarify that, though. Even though I get what Brian's saying, and he's definitely in the spirit of things.
You can't really get it, Brian, unless you can see the devil mask on his face. That's the only way to really get it.
Brian, you devil. But summons is more like we're asking you to come. It's not legally binding. We're asking you to come testify.
No, the binding comes from the pentagram with the candles.
Yes. And you know, there might be a floor even lower than the skiff room here in the basement that's happening.
All right. Well, I had another question for you, Mitch, but now we only have 90 seconds, so I doubt you'll be able to answer, but maybe we can get into it on Monday. You keep saying that you think that they're going to bring William Taylor back as he was the most powerful witness, but I'm wondering why you would think that it would be him as opposed to the Lieutenant Colonel Vindman.
Well, it might be Vindman. Vindman's possible, but it's Taylor who was more key to the actual trying to get a meeting between Zelensky and Trump. And that's what really gets to the heart of this. The White House, led by Giuliani, it appears, was demanding, if you're going to get this public meeting with Donald Trump, and it turned into the $391 million in military aid, and according to William Taylor, it turned into the entire relationship with the United States, that Ukraine needed to do these investigations into Burisma, the Bidens, and also the 2016 election. So that's, I think William Taylor is a little more central to the bigger question that they're asking in this impeachment process. But Kat, it's very possible that they ask Vindman to come testify too. I don't know. It hasn't been announced.
All right, Mitch. Well, we'll be talking to you again at around 8:30 our time. The vote is going to happen about 15 minutes your time. So we will check back in to see how things go.
Thank you, gang.
Thanks, Mitch.